Yimalea, 11th of May, Dain Chanoich Friedman, more Shilas on Choshen Mishpot.
One interesting case that came up was, can you hear me? One interesting case that came up was a father had an insurance policy for his children, a life insurance policy, and you know he pay month by month after 65. And if you stop paying 1 month, you lose the policy. Let's say £1 million. And then he's already 90 years old. He's already paying 25 years. So he says, I don't want to pay anymore. Who knows how long I'm going to be continuing paying. Why don't you stop paying? So the family didn't want to pay the rest of the children. So the whole thing would have gone under. If you don't pay it 1 month, you're going to lose it. So one of the sons decided he's going to pay. He paid the following month. Now, the father died within that month that this one son paid. Now the shaila is, what does the son who paid this final month, how much percent does he get, and how much do the rest of the people get? There are three ways of looking at this issue. And when you discuss it, what do you people think? There are three possibilities. Either this son should get all of it, he should get half of it, or he should get only for the month. There are three ways of looking at it.
Maybe challenge
should
split equally, just
give
him his payment
for the month. Oh, that's one of the possibilities of thinking of it. On the other hand, you could possibly say, what do you mean? They would have lost everything without him. So, He didn't make any conditions, but he was paying for himself. Yeah. So that's the question. What's the din without making conditions?
Why should he get half?
Oh, that could be because you need the possibility of getting half means that you could say that you needed two factors. You needed, without him paying this month, the whole thing would have gone in the sea. And one second, if they were paying 25 years, nobody would give you the policy for that month. Only because there's a policy, he's paying on 25 years, that's why you get it also now. So you could say, there's a principle, Zayin Yochov is Zayin Yochov, that this one is will not have been able to do it, and this one will not be able to do it. So you need both of them, so therefore perhaps you should divide it up, that half he gets, and the rest should be divided up, everybody, all the Yoshim, including him. That's another possibility. So we have three ways of looking at this issue. What do you people think? Have any opinions? Why? But the other opportunities, the thing, not that way, they would have gotten nothing.
So he understands the Shmai, he was happy.
He wants more than the Siyat Shmai, he wants what he calls. So I tell you.
He should get his portion. How many children were there?
Several children.
So they should work out how much he would have got, take that out of it, and then divide the rest up between everybody, including him.
But what is the seichel? He has a tiny, would have got nothing without me.
Yeah, but he wanted the policy to continue. So let's say there was 10 kids, he takes $100,000.
Then the other 900,
it's
90,000
each.
But that means you're giving him nothing more. You're giving him nothing more than what he would have handed to a regular.
No, he's getting double. The second down, including him.
You want to give him double?
He takes it.
Why he wants to say a double?
Seichel is, he saved the policy for himself. He wanted to protect himself. So he gets
so his... So the whole thing would have got lost. Okay, I hear...
He takes $100,000. Then it's about the rest by 10.
Somebody put the money in shares, it would be...
Well, I don't hear you.
Somebody put the money in,
shares it with the rest of the
policy. The part who put the money is the father all the years, and he's dead. Well, we're talking to give it for the family.
You should take them off.
Let me explain what halachic principles are involved here. On one side, you could say that perhaps they were mafkir, they were miyayish. If they know the policy is going under, if we don't pay by, let's say, the end of April in 2016, the whole thing is going under. So, and they're not paying. Maybe they're miyayish. Maybe they give it up. So maybe you should get the whole thing. That's.
Who says it's part of the estate?
I don't hear you.
Who says it's part of the estate anymore?
You so mean they shouldn't get anything, you mean?
It's not the Yorkshire, it's a new contract between the sides.
Well, it's a continuation of the old one. Normally insurance companies won't let you buy in. Yeah, he has to pay to continue the old one. But actually the whole thing would have gone in Zut HaShayam, would have gone into the sea if he weren't to pay. So maybe you look at it as a hefker or a yush. What do you want to say? Yeah, that's one possibility. But on that possibility itself, you have to know the Ketzos HaChoshen and the Nesivus HaMishpat, they say that Yush is only Kona HaDa'asin L'Shizaycha, meaning that one dear person lose something through Yush when it already came to the hands of the party who's getting it. But it hasn't come to his hand yet, unless he's coined it, then you don't lose by Yush. Meaning, I was Miyayish from an Aveda. I lost something. But it doesn't become no longer mine only when somebody picked it up. Before the other person picked it up, it's still mine. Yush only, the Torah said it becomes Hefker when the other person picked it up. The other person wanted to be Koine. And the Ksois and the Mesivis prove this halacha because there's a Gemara Babakane and not some Chavova Medeis. The Gemara tells us that according to the Shita that Yush is Koine by Gzela. The Gemara tells us that you can say Haresha Cholafanecha even by Syria Noah. You can give it back. The gzeil, even though it's already it was commissary of Rav Pesach, it's worthless. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? The original owner was Miyayish. He knows that it was chametz. He knows he stole it. He knows it's going to be worthless. So it was Miyayish. So the Gemara says, when does Yush make it no longer the original owner's? When Zeraytzeliknas, when the fellow who took it wants to be kind of. And since the Ganev knows also it's worthless now, so he has no will to be kind of. So therefore, Yush does not nullify the ownership of the original owner. So the Ksoisim and the Sivas learn from this that Yush is enu koina adosa l'shu zoicha, meaning that the theme of the Torah says Yush is no longer the original owners, but only from the time when somebody else picked it up. So if so, in our situation, even if they, by not taking care of the policy, you know it's going to go under. If I don't pay by the end of April, it's going under. So you could say they were Miyayish, but still in all, it never came to his hand yet. The father they didn't pay yet. So there's no Yush Ozi Ad Mishu Zoycha, so they wouldn't lose it through Yush. You could perhaps say something else, maybe they were Hefker. Perhaps it becomes Hefker. There's two different things. Hefker means I'm actively giving it away. It shows us that they're actively being Mafker if they don't take care of it. But Hefker only works on something which is in your possession. For instance, a stolen object, the loch is you cannot be Mafker. You can't sell it, you can't be Mafker because it's not in your possession. The same thing is a loan. It's not in your possession yet. It's still, they only owe you the money. So Hefker wouldn't work either. Neither Yush nor Hefker would be a reason why they would lose their right. The other possibility is the third way to lose it, is you could perhaps say, Avudu Mimenu Mukol Adam. That's the principle of the Gemara. If I see something falling in the English Channel, so I can't say I'm not the Irish, because I know if it's falling into the ocean or into the river, that nobody's going to find it. But this, to be a Wilma McCullough means that it's impossible to save. At the last second, let's say the company closes at 5 o'clock on April 30th, yeah? Say, if it closes at 5 o'clock, that's 4:59 seconds when he pays, then you know it's a Wilma McCullough because it's impossible for anybody else to save it. But in the middle of the month, when you pay, it's possible they would change their mind. Possible that they would decide to pay it. So you cannot say yet it's a Buddha mimenu mikolodom, that it's impossible for anybody to do anything. So therefore, we have no reason why they should lose their right. Because Yush is Adosu Shizoicha, Hefka you can't make because anybody should say, and it's not yet a Buddha mimenu mikolodom. So then the question is not because they lost their right. The question is what right does he have because he put in the money and without him it wouldn't have it. Now, we have several cases in the Gemara that we could perhaps can compare it to. And we'll see to which case we think it's comparable to. For instance, there's a Gemara in Ksubas, Tzadik Tesem Beis. The Gemara tells us there a situation where somebody sent a shaliach, a messenger, to buy something. And there's a fixed price. Let's say they sell a table for 100 pounds. It's fixed price. Something without a fixed price, but for sure, if they give you more commodities for the money you put in, for sure it belongs to the person who sent you. Because if there's no fixed price, it's all part of the deal. Well, let's say there's a fixed price for the commodity. It's known, 100 pounds for a table, that's the standard, that's the sign. And he gives you more, the same 100 pounds. And there's a subject in the Gemara, for sure he's giving some sort of present. Who does he have in mind to give the present to? To the shaliach or to the one who sent him? Now, the Rif learns in the Gemara that even if we know for sure, he says, I like the shaliach. He said for sure that I'm giving it to the shaliach. Him I liked, I gave him the extra. Still in all, the Rif says that the Mshaleach gets half. Why? Because he says he wouldn't have given it to the Shaliach if he didn't come in with money and buy an object. It's only because he bought an object that he liked him, then he decided to give the Shaliach. But a man in the street, he wouldn't have given it to. So his profit came through the money of the Mshaleach. Even though the person says Mefurish, this present I gave to the Shaliach, but since it came through the money of the Mshaleach gets half. He divided up half and half. That's what the Rif says. And this is brought down 2 days in Shulchan Aruch HaChesh HaMishpat, Simon Kuf Pei Gimel. That he caused it with his money, he gets half and half. That's one case. Then we have two other cases in the Gemara B'Metzia Daf Kuf Aleph. And the dinner of Yoyred Letoch Sodech Aveire. By Yoyred Letoch Sodech Aveire, there are two different cases. That means you've got a field and it's useful. We know it would be useful if somebody planted. Why you don't plant it? You are busy minding something else. But somebody else comes and plants it. So what he gets, he doesn't become a partner in the field. He gets like a sora suyalita, where we know that it's something good. You pay him what, if the shavach is more than the siya, you pay him a profit, what you would give a person who would work. That's what he gets. Only as what would be paid as someone that you would take for the job. But yet, there's another case in the Gemara that the Gemara speaks about. If I had a seed or even a tree, and the wind blew it into your yard, so your yard, if it first started growing, it would be orla, because the first 3 years you wouldn't be able to do it if you planted a seed. If I come in with my tree and its roots, then the first 3 years There's payers. First 3 years, the payers are mutter because there's no orla. Orla is the first 3 years it starts growing. It's forbidden to be used. Later on, it's mutter. Now, the Gemara thinks about it, that perhaps they should be partners, because I could come and say that without me, you would have been forbidden to use the fruit the first 3 years. So it's my effort to make it. And even after the first 3 years, they could say I'm a partner, because perhaps it was my planting. Then the Gemara says that perhaps in this case, we do not say that they're partners, you only give them like a worker, because how does he have permission to plant in the other person's field and become a partner? You can't plant in the other person's field and become a partner because you're utilizing something of his without his permission. So we see in this Gemara that the criteria, whether or not we look at him a worker as a partner, even when he puts in something new, was he using something of theirs that you need their permission? Or is he putting in something new? So in our situation, where the deal is month by month, true, the insurance policy will not let anybody just buy in. But on the other hand, you can look at it that this month is something new, because without them, there's no contract for this month at all. He's causing true the contract to continue. But without his effort, there would not have been at all a policy in this month. So therefore, you can look at him as a partner in what caused it. He causes it, because without him, the partner, the policy would never extend it for this month. And they're a partner because nobody would have given a policy for a man 90 years old for 1 month. It's only because he's been paying for all the months. So if so, we have a situation that there are two factors, that each one is causing it, and without the other one, it will not have taken effect. So for that reason, it would seem to me that the halacha should be that half of it gets the son who puts in the last month, and the other half is divided equally between everybody, including himself. But if, let's say, he decided to pay at the last second, 4:59 and 59 seconds, before the policy goes under, at that moment, perhaps you could say, Zabudei Menem Mikoladam, because the whole thing is going under, nobody could save it, perhaps at that time he gets the whole thing. Because then it was a Buddha Menem Kolarim, the whole thing would be lost. And no one could have saved it. Then that type of Yush, they lose it, because you don't need it to Asr Shizicha. You just need, it was impossible for anybody to save it, and he saved it the last second. So the way I would look at it, generally he gets half, but if he saved it the last second, it was impossible for them to save it. They're not here. None of them can do anything at that second. The whole thing is going under. And since it's impossible to be saved, that's how Buddha Menem Kolarim would get the whole thing.
So how does that work, let's say, with a lottery ticket and a syndicate?
What happened?
A lottery ticket.
What about it?
And a syndicate.
What about a syndicate?
So you're a member of a syndicate.
Well, I'm a member of a group. A syndicate, you mean, as a group?
Yeah. And you forget to pay 1 week, or you decide not to pay. In this case, the father decided not to pay for his life insurance.
No.
He didn't forget, he decided not to.
So I understand. In the syndicate, nobody wanted to pay?
No, so the lottery syndicate, let's say they're free every week,
if they have responsibility to each other as a group, so then a person has to tell the group that I'm paying on my own. But if no one has responsibility for the other, they happen to be brothers, but no one has responsibility, then a person can do on his own. If there's a part of a group, a company, part of a company agreement is that each person should take care of it. Could be in a company, nobody takes care of it because the next person is taking care of it. But in principle, there's an agreement among them that somebody is supposed to take care of it, and you do for the company unless you specifically make arrangements otherwise. But here, each person is a private person. They can do it for himself. They happen to be beneficiaries. Each one would be a beneficiary. But not... Okay, let me go to a different case.
Sorry, the first example of the team is a shliach with a choice of where to buy it. Now they buy it behaving itself, and you buy perhaps somebody else gets something, for example, the commission. So who's the boss in the
That discussion, this Gemara, that if the Gemara says if the price is not stable, meaning
stable,
then is a machlokas. I understand. Even so, then there's a machlokas. It depends who the person meant to give it to. Shliach or mshaleach. That's one viewpoint. If so, then the Rif says still only made it with the moyas and mshaleach. He gets half. That's what the Rif says. That's the mashalech. Machlekes apostkim. Some say that if we know for sure he meant to give the shliach, because you could also look at it, not necessarily he looks at the shliach either, because the shliach, he doesn't have money on his own. It's not certain he means dafka the shliach. But I'll compare him. If he meant the shliach, some say that the shliach gets his 2 days and Shulchan Aruch kupe gimel. Choshemish me kupe gimel. I'll compare him. I get to another case. This is a case that I was asked from a Beis Din in one of the banana republics. Well, banana republics means that, you know what banana republics are.
Cameroon.
What? Like what?
Cameroon.
What's Cameroon? That I don't know. But a lot of things go on there which should not go. Definitely the Rabbanim are against, and definitely you shouldn't do them. But the Shias come about because in these places, I won't mention more. Al Kopanim, the question was, in this country, at certain times, receipts are given in order to save from taxes on goods that were never bought. See, they're trying to save. They go to a company, they give them money, get a receipt, and then the money is returned later on under the table. Things which should not be done. Of course, they claim that even if they pay the taxes, it never gets to the government. They claim that 80% goes into the pockets of the pekidim. In the banana republics, you know yourself what goes on there. At any rate, the question was, in this situation, the government realizes something's going on funny, and they seize the money. So now, the question, who has the responsibility for the loss? The fellow of the company that entered the money to the company was changing for them? Or the company that got the money ready in their bank, the ones they're changing it by, and now you have to, their agreement was you're supposed to return the money to me, and we take a percent for doing the deal, and you return the money. And so who is responsible for the loss? This is a question that came to the Beis Din there. Was the one responsible for the loss the company that put it in, or the company that the money, the one who has the money now? Excuse me? Now, the question is, what din does they have the company that received the money? If they'd only be a Shomer Sochar, definitely they're getting a reward, they're getting paid, they're at least a Shomer Sochar. But a Shomer Sochar is only chayev for something that is possible for him to watch, like Nevev Aveda. If it comes a force that's beyond he can watch, like even if the government, even if it's legal, but it's beyond his control, he has no din of Shmira, then he won't have responsibility for that. But the question is, do we look at the company that has, that they got the money as beyond being a Shomer Sochar, do we look at them as being a lover? Do we look at them as if he borrowed the money? Now, in order for them to be a lover, we have to know the issues. We'll look into the facts. First of all, are they allowed to use the money before they repay? One. Two, do they have to repay the same money, or that we could pay for from somewhere else? Three, is it advisable for them to use this money? The answer to these three questions, I was told, at the Beis Din in this country, they told me, first of all, if the money was given to a company with Salvin, which has many different assets, then normally they can pay for that even a month later, and normally they pay for somewhere else. They wanted to look real, as if something really went on. So this money usually is used, and usually they're paying from somewhere else. So in other words, first of all, they have the right to use the money. Two, they're paying for somebody else, and perhaps even better if they use the money, because it looks as if something actionable had taken place. If so, then horror, they could get a deal as a lover on this money, because the money they could use, they use for a month's time, they'd be paying from somewhere else. It's even advisable that they use the money. So they get a deal of a lover. If they have a deal of a lover, then the lacha is a lover is obligated, even if a notice comes. Even of an uncontrollable force, whether legal or illegal, whatever the reason is, then they're responsible to return the money. So under those circumstances, well, pashas, we should assume that the company that received the money is a lover, and they're responsible for the loss. What do you want to say?
They're only using the money almost as part of their shmirah.
Not necessarily. They have the right to use it. Part of the tovus hanoah of the company that gets it is that we're doing business, you get your percent, but part of the tovus hanoah is that I use it until the time that when you're able to return from somewhere else. They don't make it tonight that you have to use the money. You use your discretion. You want to pay from here, you want to pay from there, you want to use it, you don't use it. If they would make a condition that you have to use it, that's part of the way of doing it, then perhaps it would have been different. But normally that's not so. So under these circumstances, the chora der aloiva and the responsibility is on the company that got the money. Now I'll tell you a question I was asked from the Beis Din in France. It's also, it was an underhanded deal. But I'll tell you what happened. Somebody, things that should not be done, before it should not be done. But the question came up, Mechoshe Mishpat. Somebody told his friend, you're traveling to a different country, take a box of coffee. So he already went through security, and he opens up the box, I haven't opened up, he sees diamonds inside. He says, you want to smuggle diamonds? I don't want to go to jail for you, I don't want to take responsibility. He calls up the guy, and he tells him, that I'm not going to take responsibility, I'm past security, I can't give it back, I'm going to throw it out. So the guy says, no, I can't have a tie against you, I fooled you, I told you I'm selling coffee, I didn't tell you. Then I'm smuggling diamonds. So the guy agreed that, oh, I have no brera. You don't want to take responsibility, you throw it out. Okay, end of the conversation. Hello, goodbye. Now, after the conversation finished, the fellow thinks to himself 5 minutes later, for him, I don't want to take a chance. But for me, I'm willing to take a chance. Okay. Now they came, the shalach eshe mishpat, for sure, these are not things that you should be done. But in Cheshire Mishpat, does the other person have a taina, or it belongs to the person now taking for himself? Not if you gave it to him. If you would have said no, he would say, okay, I'm throwing it out. He wouldn't have stolen from him. He would say, okay, you don't agree, I'll throw it out. So, what do you people think? About this case. I don't hear you. That's another question. But since the question was asked based in France, and they asked me, so
Belongs to him? Belongs to him, to this guy, took it.
Which one? The second guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lachora. And he's right. I mean, he's wrong. But our compartment was Nogea to his Chaver. Once he was Miyayish, now it became him. For sure, these things should not be done. This second case even perhaps more common than the third case, more common than the second case.
What opinion did he make?
What?
What opinion did he make?
He did it. He took it in his pocket. So what? So I put it down, picked it up. What? That's not a problem of a king.
The first man only gave up the diamonds on the understanding that they were going to be thrown out.
So if the person would have said, no, I don't want you to throw it out, so he would have thrown it out. It would have been thrown out.
Okay, that was the second man's decision, but the first one only said...
I'm asking you, the first man's decision, he called him up. He says, you tell me now that you don't agree, that you don't want, so I'm throwing it out. He said, so I have no choice. He's not going to get up anymore. If he would say no, I'll take it. They were throwing it out.
How do you know
there's
going to shake
me?
It would have been
right.
Okay.
All right. At any rate, we should know. I'll end with a conclusion that we should all know the din, though. The Berhetev, in Sim Shin Mem Ches, Hilchas Gzeila says that anybody who relied on a hetter of Toras Akum, he saw had a bad end. In the end, they lost their money. And the ones that were honest and their Mekadoshim Shemayim, even where the din is that it's mutter, not like these cases where it's usher, at the end, the Rebbeinu Shalom paid him his reward, and he had atzlocha in this road also. And I'll tell you, I'll end with an Emerson story. One of the biggest billionaires, Balitztoka, in the United States, in New York, is Ruby Schroen. Everybody knows him, Ruby Schroen. You can find out, the big billionaire. He bought a house, plain little house in Flatbush, years ago, 40 years ago. And when he found the house, he found a big treasure inside. So he bought it from a goy. So he went through a Misha Feinstein. He said, is it a goy? Because Kiddush Hashem, I said, well, money, and I'm not a rich man. But Misha Feinstein told him, he'll be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, you won't lose. He says, and from then came the beginning of his success. Today he's one of the biggest billionaires, blah, 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 stuff in the United States. So I may be loving.